Today on Real Radio.
Now think about it today. Put it in context. What if right now you heard from God? You know it's God. You have no doubt about it. God says, hey, Bob, go home now. Walk out of the service. Go home. Get a backpack. Get a ticket on Arab Airways and fly to Baghdad and preach to Baghdad. 40 days, judgment comes. What would you say to God if you knew it was God? Well, first thing you ought to know, if you have any news info in your head at all, you know that you're not going to live long. First of all, it would take God to get you there. Then once you got there, it would take God to keep you alive. And you're certainly going to your last message preach, that's for sure. That's even if you got a chance to preach it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a brand new series through the book of Jonah. This Old Testament narrative is really quite fascinating, not just because of the part of the oversized fish, but really the twists and turns that take place after that. Well, this is our first step into this journey through Jonah. Here's our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The book of Jonah. Go to your Old Testament near the end, Malachi. If you hit Malachi, then go left, and you'll find Jonah tucked in amongst the minor prophets. Jonah. You see, Jack, you almost talk as though he was a real guy. Isn't it just a fishy story? Oh, he was a real guy, all right. 2 Kings will tell us about Jonah, that he was a real guy. I'll give you the chapter verse as we get into it. And then Jesus himself makes clear that Jonah was a real living prophet of Israel. In fact, Jonah is quite exclusive amongst all prophets of God. When it came to the ministry of Jesus Christ, Jesus made it very clear to us. And for the first time, mankind began to understand that Jonah was a reference to the doctrine of resurrection by a prophet. Jonah is the resurrection prophet. You say, well, Jack, I don't remember reading about any resurrection. Well, we didn't know that until Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said that no sign will be given to an unbelieving generation or people except the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. So will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And some of these things, I tell you, I've been studying a lot of books, reading a lot of books on Jonah. I am cracking up over this guy. He is something. I hope, it is my prayer, that he is taken off the page of a childhood curriculum and is brought right to the forefront of our study and of our teaching. Because we have this tendency, you know, to think and to relate to Jonah as some sort of a storybook character. He is a storybook character, so to speak, of course, but in reality, he was a pretty amazing guy, a guy that we are going to be shocked to find out how much we can relate to him. The first thing I want you to realize is his geography. Jonah was a prophet of God, Israeli-born, Jewish, who lived in the northern parts of Israel, pretty small on the map, but if you look at Joppa, that's a seaport village on the Mediterranean in Israel, just go north a little bit, and he lived in the area of Galilee. Now that's very interesting. That's northern Israel around the Sea of Galilee. Cana is there, Capernaum, Bethsaida, Tiberias is there. Well, in this map, you can see where Joppa is. That's close enough for our argument right now because Jonah's going to leave from Joppa. Well, instead of going to Nineveh, 500 miles into the area of what is today Iraq, instead of walking 500 miles, a six-week journey, according to those that have made that trek and through that geography is quite unforgiving. 500-mile trip, six-week course, He should have gone the way to Nineveh as God had commanded him. But in reality, what did he wind up doing? He got on a boat in Joppa and he headed off to what we call Tarshish or southern Spain. In fact, it's not even on the map. He covered 2,000, or he had hoped to cover 2,000 miles, having set sail to flee the will of God. I know Christians who do this. The first point I want you to see is this. Who is this man? Well, we learn, first of all, concerning Jonah, that he has a historical past. He's got a past that is biblical and historical. He's not a fairy tale. Jonah, in 2 Kings 14:25, it says there that King Rehoboam restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant, the prophet Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher, or Galilee, we would know him. This area, it's just 3 miles north of the Galilee shores. Archaeological discoveries have found its exact location, and Nineveh has been found. Nineveh is a real archaeological gem. And so it immediately, in our modern day, leaps off the page of fairy tale, and let all those know today that the scientific study in archaeology produced already Nineveh. It's a real place. And the findings there are quite significant. Well, not only is Jonah's birthplace of the Galilee established and that he's from there, but we need to also realize this. If Galilee is in the northern part of the country of Israel, and it is, but by the way, it's beautiful there. Military excursions that the Assyrian Empire began to invade southern kingdoms. And part of those kingdoms that they had invaded quite successfully were places like today's Lebanon and Syria. They had advanced in the area, some of us have been there, to the region of Mount Hermon. Remember that snow-capped mountain in Israel? And the Assyrians began to send marauding bands into northern Israel. That is a very important thing to the setting of our book. You want to know why? Jonah lived in the north of Israel. The Assyrian army is extremely brutal. They perfected skinning people alive. It is believed by many Jewish scholars that Jonah was none other than a man, a young man, who at the time survived such an excursion of the Assyrians into his northern village and hated the Assyrians, that when God called Jonah to go and preach to them, when you read this book of Jonah, you will never find Jonah saying, "No, I'm not going to go because I don't want to." He doesn't say that. Jonah nowhere says, "I'm not going to go because I don't feel called." That's something we would say. Now think about it today. Put it in context. What if right now you heard from God? You know it's God. You have no doubt about it. God says, "Hey, Bob, go home now. Walk out of the service. Go home. Get a backpack. Get a ticket on Arab Airways and fly to Baghdad and preach to Baghdad 40 days and Baghdad falls." See, you sit there and I sit here, stand here in comfort saying, "Well, God would never tell me to do that." How do you know? But listen, it wasn't that Jonah was reluctant for the reasons we might give. You want to know why Jonah didn't want to go? Jonah's going to say, "If I go and preach to them, you are so kind, so gentle, so forgiving, that frankly, it makes me sick, God, because I hate these people so much that if I preach, they're going to get converted and they're going to wind up going to heaven. And that thought of that makes me sick. I'm not going. Kill me." He's going to tell God more than twice, "Kill me dead. I'm not going." And God has a way of sending a wind, a great fish. It wasn't a whale. It was a great fish, different word. A plant? He's going to send them a plant. And a worm. Yeah, you got to laugh. When we get to the worm part, you're going to die laughing. And then he sent to Jonah, through Jonah, the greatest evangelistic crusade that has ever happened still to this date in the history of the world. And listen, any pastors, teachers, evangelists in here right now, cheer up. Jonah delivered an 8-word sermon, and some 720,000 people got converted in his message, and he didn't even want to do it. He didn't want to preach it. In fact, he was so disappointed and disgusted at the results of his preaching that he almost cursed God for doing such a thing. I tell you, that's funny. What an evangelist would live here. Can you imagine if Billy Graham preached a message and 720,000 people got saved? Yes, come forward. Can you imagine a field to handle that? What a funny guy Jonah's going to be in our learning. He's a tremendous guy, a lot like us in many ways. So this morning we look at this. We look at the man Jonah. He's a historical figure of the past. We see that in 2 Kings 14:25. And also this, we see that Jonah has a current struggle. And that is that great, horrible Assyrian Empire. They probably had come into the area of his own village and pillaged those villages as well. Thirdly, we see that Jonah's got a future ministry. It's funny, he's not willing to fulfill it, but he's got a future ministry. You and I have a future ministry. Right now we do. And listen, I believe this because I know it from experience. If you're not willing to fulfill God's plan in your life, do not be surprised if God's got a way of preparing you for your future ministry. The first thing is don't be surprised if God strips you of financial resources. He has his way. Don't be surprised if God brings into your life some sort of a storm of life. He has his way. God will even prepare a great fish. It wasn't a shark. You know, maybe you swallowed by a great white. It wasn't even a big great white. We know that. It wasn't a whale. We know that. The word in the Hebrew is God prepared a great fish. It was a God-engineered fish. Now, we don't know much about it. Was the fish, you know, was the fish hatched and it swam around and got really big just for that moment and then his job was over and somebody, you know, I don't know what, they had sushi for years after that. We don't know. Or did God snap his divine finger and there is a fish under the surface that appeared? We don't know. We just know this with authority. It was a great fish. God did the preparing. And every one of the things that comes to Jonah, listen up, every situation, God had done the preparing. God prepared the wind, God prepared the fish, God prepared the worm, God prepared the plant, and God prepared the hearts of the Ninevites. It is recorded in ancient non-biblical history that the year that Jonah arrived in Nineveh to preach, there had been some horrific natural disasters that year. I find that interesting. One of them, by the way, is not so much a disaster physically, but what it did emotionally to the Ninevites. There was a great and extremely powerful solar eclipse. And if you know anything about have you ever studied ancient history? When there was an eclipse, civilizations went nuts. They thought the end of the world, that's it, it's over for us. And they were petrified. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, petrified at this eclipse. Then Jonah comes. Interesting. You say, well, Jack, doesn't that kind of take away from the thrust of Jonah's spontaneous arrival of the message? Not at all. Isn't our God as it was with Jesus? Is he not the one who the waves and the wind obey him? Even eclipse? Wasn't it true that when Jesus was on the cross from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was black dark? The sun didn't shine. God's in control. God moved, as it were, heaven and earth to prepare a wicked people to receive the message. And I got to tell you, we'll see it in a moment. It ain't much of a message. In fact, as a teacher, it'd be a great message to prepare for. Yet 40 days and Nineveh is overthrown. 8 words. What a message. How many points to your message? 8. Oh, it's a big one, huh? No, 8 words. 8-word message. No hope, no grace, no mercy. No forgiveness. Yet 40 days in Nineveh overthrown. They need to walk a few more feet. Yet 40 days. Holy day. What a message. Well, he had a future ministry, and God was going to fulfill it. And God has a ministry for you and I, and he'll fulfill it. It's better, listen, class, it's better to obey God and be blessed than to go down to Joppa and find a ship and head the opposite direction. Now, I want to insert something right here. It's not in my notes, but I think it maybe the Lord wants it said. You might stop, and if this was a modern-day scenario, you might say, well, wait a minute, I have a problem with this. Didn't God want Jonah happy? I mean, doesn't God want us happy? First of all, with all due respect to the Word of God, I've never seen a verse that God wants us happy. Did you know that? I've seen where we're commanded to be joyful. And there's a key to this logic. Happy is temporary. Joy is forever, no matter what situation you're in. Happiness comes from human manipulation. And by the way, you've got to keep manipulating to stay happy. That's why no one who pursues happiness is ever always fully happy. Joy is imparted from God to those who obey him. So note the progression. Obey God, have joy, then you can be happy. Why? Because joy flows out of, happiness flows out of joy. Joy comes from obedience to God. If you obey God, you're going to have joy. If you have joy, you'll be happy in any situation. Even if God says, don't do that or do that or back up or go forward. It's like this. All right, whatever you want. People who complain, I mean, some people, they just have a crank on the side of their head. You got to let it, let them go. Just let them complain. Just know this. If they were walking with God, they'd have joy. And the thing that they're complaining about, watch if God doesn't use it to come right back to them and speak to them clearly. Big time. That's what we're going to learn from Jonah. Jonah, just walk to Nineveh. No. I'm going to get a boat. Now watch. He leaves Galilee. He goes down to Joppa. Whenever you're following your own path, you'll always go down to fill in the blank. But watch. He finds a ship. Excuse me, captain, shipmaster. Yes, where's the ship going to? Tyre. Eh, that's not far enough. Excuse me, you, shipmaster, where's this ship going? Egypt. That's not far enough. Shipmaster, excuse me, where are you going? Tarshish. Where's Tarshish? It's the southern tip of Spain. Where's Spain? 2,000 miles from here. Can I come on board? We don't know what and how that story panned out, other than we know from Scripture he bought a ticket. It says that he paid the fare. And I wonder, a ship bound for Tarshish left very few and far between, rare. Cargo ship, probably, because we know that the men begin to throw the cargo overboard in our future studies to save the ship. They would put a crew on board. Apparently, Jonah had enough money to pay whatever the shipmaster was asking in place of cargo Jonah's put on. It could have been, listen, follow me, hang on. It could be, because it's a freighter, that they take off a piece of freight and say, all right, pay us $600. All right, here it is, 600 shekels. He gets on board and stands in the place of the crates. Where was he found, by the way? Every time they find him, where is he? Sleeping where? Below the ship, in the belly of the ship. It's possible that Jonah became a piece of cargo. That was fine with him because he had suicide on his mind. Run from God at all costs. Now watch this. It could be that right there, the logic of, doesn't God want me happy? No, God wants you walking in obedience first. That will produce joy in your life. Happiness is a byproduct of the two. Are you with me, everybody? Now, Jonah could have gone down to Joppa and say, hey, I got to Joppa. That's quite a trip from Galilee to Joppa. I'm here at Joppa. First indication, all is well. Okay? He finds a ship. Second indication, all is well. He pays the fare. He's got enough money for them to accept his ticket. Third indicator, looking good. He gets on board the ship. He's physically on. Fourth indication, looking good. If we paused right there and we asked him, Jonah, what do you think? Well, God must be in this. You hear? You see? I got a ticket. I got down here safely. I found a ship. I'm on board. Hey, it's looking good. Fifth indication, we are leaving the harbor. We're out in the open sea. Hey, this is looking good. I'm going to go to sleep. Well, you know what that tells us? That someone can be living in absolute disobedience to God and begin to look at life circumstances and say, hey, first indication, looking good. Haven't been caught yet. All right. Second indicator. All right. Hey, not only did she wink at me, but we bumped into each other in the parking lot. Second indication, looking good. Third thing, she gave me her phone number. Hey, God, if you want to stop this, now's the time. Okay, all right, I'll take your phone number. Fourth indication, that all is well. She's married, I'm married, but we really like each other. Fifth indication, I'm more happy with her than I am with my own wife. Or I'm more happy with him than my own husband. But nobody knows. Everything seems to be going fine. In fact, I just got a promotion. Wow. Could God be in this? That's how logic in the life of a believer without Bible starts to stew. All is going well. It must be okay.
Scripture indicates in numerous places that, left to our own devices, we think we're doing well. It is when we consult God's Word that we learn otherwise. A biblical principle conveyed by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Jonah, the Sinking Prophet. Now, this is the very first in a series of studies on the book of Jonah. We'll pick up with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with part two of this presentation. Now, we're still making available to you the two DVD set called Islam in America. The first of the two DVDs features Pastor Jack addressing the increasing influence of this false religion, not only in the West, but on our own shores. Did you know that intelligence estimates are as high as 80% of mosques in the U.S. are involved in Islamic terrorism? The second of these two DVDs features Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte Gabriel is a Lebanese Christian who survived Islamic terrorism in her own land and is the author of the book Because They Hate. Now here's our offer for your gift of any amount, all of which will go toward covering the costs of bringing you Real Radio. We'll send you the two DVD set called Islam in America. If you'd like to get in touch by telephone, give us a call at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Or pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. If you'd like to do things through the mail, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just remember to mention the title, Islam in America. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.